Today on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, we are talking about organizing and decluttering for death. Are your wishes known if you should die suddenly? Would your family and friends like stuff you would leave them, or do they view it as a burden and clutter? Do you have everything handled to go with grace? Let's continue our month focusing on tidying up for 2017. Are you ready to clear your clutter and share your gifts with the world? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join me on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out as I teach you how to navigate the waters to declutter your life, get organized, and become more mindful. I'm an award-winning professional organizer, author, and certified life coach, and I destroy the box and examine clutter in all areas. Every episode, I'll give you take action steps that you can easily apply to your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was, as usual, inspired by a few things. Last year, my father had a meeting with myself and my siblings with his attorney and tax accountant. He wanted us to know these were the people that he could trust. When he died, they had everything that we needed. We had any questions, they were who we were supposed to contact. He also expressed some of his wishes. He said, I want to be buried in the cheapest pine box that's available and what they bury paupers in. And when your mother protests and wants to buy the most expensive casket, let her. That was a lighthearted moment. And I have to admit, I teared up in the meeting, but I am so grateful that my father has been proactive. When my grandmother died, she had prepared a lot of things, written her obituary, had everything set up, and it made things a lot easier. My parents, my grandmother, not super rich. I would consider us middle class. And I want people to get out of the mindset, because I think sometimes people think, well, we don't have a lot of money, we don't need to take care of these things, and I'm not going to worry about it. I would encourage you to start thinking about these things. I'd like to plant a little seed. This can be a really difficult thing for people to think about. I was tearing up. I know my father's going to die, but I just didn't want to deal with it. I also have a friend who has two parents that are really sick and have been in and out of the hospital for just about a year. And I was thinking, gosh, if one of them were to go and their affairs aren't in order, she is already a hot mess. She is going to be, I just don't know what she'd do. And seeing her stress of caring for her parents, if this stuff isn't taken care of, that adds an extra burden. So I'd encourage you to think about the people that you'll be leaving behind. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know, I love my Sybil. It's in, I believe, an episode from 2015. Interviewed Sybil, was like a second mother to me. I helped her plan her obituary. I helped design the little, what do you call it, the little handout at the service and put that together. And we talked to a printer about that when I was down in Louisiana visiting her one time. And when she died, her grandson called and said, okay, I know you have this. The printer says they can't find it. Luckily, the organizer had left it, even though I was in my sent mailbox, so I was able to forward that to him, and she was able to have the little brochure that she wanted. Again, this can be a hard subject for many, and so my hope is this is to get the conversation started. I'm thinking about going into more detail on the subjects later on in 2018, but I encourage you to start to take some steps moving forward so you can go with grace. Paperwork. Create a will. Who do you want to leave your stuff to? Be as specific as possible. You'll want to make sure your lawyer, you, your power of attorney, and someone you trust have a copy. I'm going to encourage you, make it as detailed as possible. My neighbor's mother died, and he is the executor of the will. However, everyone has an equal say, and it is a nightmare right now. A couple of the siblings would like to sell the house, a couple don't, and they all have to be in agreement. And this is going on 6 or 7 months now, and it seems there's no end in sight. If you have a lot of stuff that you're going to be leaving, and say there are multiple children and grandchildren, I'd encourage you, how do you want to do it? Have everyone draw a straw, and then that's the order you go in and people get a pick. Come up with a system so there's no drama. My husband shared with me when his grandmother died, she wrote specifically, don't fight over my stuff. This stuff is not worth it. It's not worth much for y'all to get bent out of shape and get angry with each other. They didn't listen to her. Make it as easy as possible and write out your wishes. You'll need to designate a power of attorney. This gives someone the power to make financial decisions for you when you can't make those decisions for yourself. So, for an example, if you're in an accident and can't think for yourself, you'll want to make sure your lawyer, you, your power of attorney, and someone you trust have a copy. I'd also encourage you to keep a safety deposit box with all of your will, your power of attorney, and all of your important paperwork. Have an advance directive. This designates your medical wishes. Again, people who should have a copy are the doctor, you, your power of attorney, someone you trust, and in the safety deposit box. I did a podcast earlier where I talked about medical documents, and you can find out more about that in health records. Make a contact list. People who should be immediately notified when you die. Your immediate family, power of attorney. Make a list of who should be notified and invited to the funeral or memorial. Don't forget to include people you do not want notified and who are not to attend the funeral or memorial. That's absolutely your choice. Plan your funeral. I mentioned how my grandmother and Sybil have done that, and it was a great gift to those of us who were left behind when they went on to their next adventure. What type of service would you like? Where do you want the service? Would you like a burial, cremation, be donated to science? Where will we be buried or cremated? Consider writing an obituary. That allows you to decide with what is written. I'm going to write my own obituary, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I want people laughing when they read it. Make a list of important account information. You'll want all your account information so they can be closed easily after you die. Bank, utilities, cable, cell phones, where your accounts are. And don't forget about social media. If you're really active on Facebook, what do you want to happen when you go? Make a list of death benefits and insurance policies. That includes auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, veteran service, and Social Security. Again, have all of this information written up and have a copy in your safety deposit box. Make a list of all your assets. Include titles and registrations. Keep it in a safe at home, or again, a safety deposit box at the bank. Do you keep saying you'll get organized someday, but someday never comes? Are you overwhelmed, anxious, and exhausted by your clutter? Would you like to save time and money while reducing your stress? Are you ready to be organized and decluttered in 2018? Our Get Organized 2018 Facebook Mastermind community can support you. Begins January 11th with special pricing. Find out more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com under Life Organization Masterminds. Come on, join us. Pets, you knew I wasn't going to forget pets with three cats at home. Find at least two responsible friends or relatives who agree to serve as temporary emergency caregivers. Provide them with keys to your home, feeding and care instructions, the name of your veterinarian, and information about the permanent care provisions you've made for your pet. Make sure your neighbors, friends, and relatives know how many pets you have and the names and contact numbers of the individuals who have agreed to serve as emergency caregivers. Emergency caregivers should also know how to contact each other. Carry a wallet alert card that lists the names and phone numbers of your emergency pet caregivers. Post a removable in case of emergency notice on your doors or windows, specifying how many and what type of pets you have. These notices will alert emergency response personnel during a fire or other home emergency. Tip: don't use stickers. They're hard to remove. Stickers are often left behind by former residents, so firefighters may assume that the sticker is outdated, or worse, that they may risk their lives trying to find a pet no longer in the house. Affixed to the inside of your front and back doors, a removable notice listing emergency contact names and phone numbers. Because pets need daily care and will need immediate attention should you die or become incapacitated, the importance of making these informal arrangements for temporary caregivers cannot be overemphasized. You can put pets in your wills, set up a trust, or consider a power of attorney. Clear your physical clutter. Decide if you would like to give stuff away before you die. My grandmother started to do this before she died. I think it was great. My grandmother's a completely even Steven kind of person, so she went down the line of kids and made sure that everyone was treated equally. If you're going to leave things to multiple people, I suggest, again, leaving very specific instructions of how you want it done. I shared what my neighbors are going through now. I know many families who have fought over things. My mom considers some of her aunts and uncles vultures because when her grandmother died, they went and cleared just about everything out, and she hardly has anything to remember her grandmother by. Research Swedish death cleaning. The Swedes are no joke. I read a lot of mystery authors from Sweden. I believe the girl with the dragon tattoo author was from Sweden. They are no joke in that country. It states that the ultimate purpose of death cleaning is to minimize the amount of stuff, especially meaningless clutter, that you leave behind for others to deal with that. I can't tell you how many people I work with, 20, 30, 40 years accumulated of stuff. The kids and grandkids don't want it. So I'd encourage you now, get stuff donated, see what people are interested in, clear your physical clutter. I don't care if you're 20 and you're going to live to 90. Get in the habit of clearing your physical clutter regularly. I have lots of podcasts on physical clutter. Listen to them and then take action. Life. A healer once told me that way back when a baby was born, they used to clear all their stuff from their past lives, phobias, karma, etc. And then somehow that tradition got lost. Talk about things to consider clearing up before you start your next journey. You don't have to wait until you're 90 to do any of this. We never know what tomorrow will bring, and I encourage you to do this at any time, wherever you see fit. Acknowledge the important people in your life. Julia Cameron wrote a book that I read ages ago. One of the exercises was to write thank yous. So I wrote thank you notes to people who had been kind to me and helped me. I know it really meant a lot to them because they all wrote me back and told me so. I also wrote letters to those that I felt I hadn't been kind to. I felt like I was clearing up some karma then, and I also heard from all that I had written, and I had been forgiven. I had been contrite and honest, and it was a sincere apology. It felt good to do both of those exercises. Remember the treasured moments from your life. Take time to think about all those amazing moments you have. They're not necessarily the big things. I was thinking this morning as I was watching my husband sleep and all the cats were in our bedroom with us. This makes me happy. I'm grateful for Tony and the cats. Just sitting here having the whole family together in the morning was a really valuable time to me. Take time to grieve. You don't have to have an illness to grieve for death. I still struggle with the process. I know I'm going to die. I believe that life goes on. I don't believe that there's nothing after this. I believe my spirit's going to continue, yet I still struggle. If we're so afraid of dying, we're probably not living life. Find a way to come to terms with that. Find peace with death. Know what to expect from the dying process. When my grandmother was dying, the last time that I talked to her, she had very shallow breathing. I was not expecting that. And again, over the phone, I could tell that her breathing was really shallow. But I think it's helpful if we know what's going to happen to us, if we're fortunate not to die in an accident, just or not dying in our sleep, and we slowly die, know what to expect. That'll help alleviate fear. And again, I believe if we have less fear of the process, it just makes it easier. Apologize to those who've hurt. I did that at the same time when I acknowledged people who'd been kind to me and supportive. Forgive those who love you if they have hurt you. Again, clear all this stuff up. Come to forgive people, because when you don't forgive, that hurts you. It doesn't harm the other person. They might not know they've upset you. They might not care. You have no control over that. Learn to forgive to help you. Express your gratitude for all the love and care you've received. How can you show your thanks? Thank those who've been supportive. Thank those who are caring for you. Express that. Don't wait until it's too late. Share your gratitude. Tell your friends and family how much you love them. Tell your pets how much you love them. We need more love in this world on a daily basis. Share the love. Let people know how you feel. Sometimes we're not comfortable expressing emotions like this. Learn how to express your love. It will not only be returned to you, I believe it supports you in feeling better. And finally, if you're able, take time to say goodbye. Have those meaningful conversations. If you need to get something off your chest, share that, express that. Take time to have those meaningful and deep conversations and say goodbye to people. It can make all the difference in the world. Take actions from today's podcast. Make a will. Designate a power of attorney. Decide on healthcare directives. Write out your wishes, including planning for your funeral. Create a plan for your pets. Clear out your physical clutter. And take time to reflect on your life and express your feelings. On next month's episode, we're talking about coupons. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. Sign up for our newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com and receive a free copy of 10 Steps to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you would rate and review the show. See you next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Remember, when you clear your clutter, you can create the life you desire.